Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is wide open right now, and so we'd like to know what's on your mind. Let's talk about it right now. Again, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about how to read the Bible to really understand it for what it is. I know there's so many people who just refuse to read it or don't want to really study because they've done so in the past, and they just didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. It was just a mystery book. So yesterday we talked about the Bible being the story of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about the fact that when we read the Bible, we need to read it through the lens of the grace of God, or through the lens of the new covenant. And when we do, we're able to see the real picture unfold, and it really falls into place. All the pieces of the puzzle really start to fall into place. And today we're going to read a passage out of 2 Corinthians. And Paul is comparing and contrasting the new covenant with the old covenant. And he's made some really, really bold statements about the old covenant, that it is a covenant of condemnation, a covenant of judgment, and a covenant of death. He even concludes the law kills. And that's exactly what the law was supposed to do, what God designed it to do on a spiritual basis. Yes, it had various applications as far as the people of Israel were concerned, and the nation of Israel was concerned, from the time of Moses up to the time of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. But it had a spiritual application for all of us, and that spiritual application is the one that condemns us, that really shows us our need for Jesus. And once that purpose is fulfilled, then the law steps back and gives way to the grace of God. Why? Because it's the grace of God that brings life. It's the grace of God that saves. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul has made some bold statements about the old covenant and about the new covenant. And then he says this in verse 12, since we have such a hope, so only in this new covenant do we have such a hope, the hope of life, the hope of glory, the hope of sharing in the very glory of God. It says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses. So here's a contrast again, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. So there was this great story where Moses courageously says to God, show me your glory. And God answered that request. He put Moses in the crevice of a rock, his glory passed by, and Moses was able to gaze at the tail end of that glory, just a snippet of it. And it was so powerful, it radiated his face. And when he went down to the people, he scared them to death, just scared the weebie-jeebies just right out of them. So he put a veil over his face. Now that glory was fading away. Mm-hmm. And as he says, as Paul says here, it was going to be brought to an end. And that's the glory of the old covenant. It did come with glory, but its glory pales in comparison to the glory of the new covenant that will never come to an end, that shines brightly eternally. Now, it says this, but their minds were hardened. Whose minds? The people of Israel. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Now, the Pharisees were a perfect example of this particular passage. They studied the scriptures in hopes to find eternal life. But when the subject of those scriptures stood right in front of them, they plotted to kill him. They were blinded to who the scriptures were pointing to. They could not see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So whenever we go into the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New, and read it with an old covenant mindset, in the same way the Pharisees we're reading the Bible, then we're going to miss Jesus. And our minds are going to be hardened, and our thinking is going to become dull, and a veil is going to lie over our hearts. So how is that veil lifted? Well, it's only lifted in Christ. So when we go into the Word of God, understanding that the Bible is the story of Christ, God's testimony concerning His Son, and read that story through the lens of the New Covenant, this covenant that gives life, this covenant that declares us to be righteous, this covenant that shows us that we belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ. When we go into the Bible and understand it as the story of Jesus and read it through that new covenant lens, then we're going to experience the freedom and the victory and the life that this Bible is talking about. So if you have a resolution to read your Bible, maybe to read the New Testament in 2019, or maybe to read the entire Bible from start to finish in 2019, remember these two guiding keys, that it's a book about Jesus, and to properly understand it, to properly divide the Word of God, then you need to read it through the lens of this new covenant. And I guarantee you, when you remember those two things, then this Bible's going to jump to life for you. So don't read it with an old covenant mindset. Read it with a new covenant, grace of God mindset. It changes everything.
Indeed it does. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. You know, real hope and lasting change can only be found in Jesus Christ, but in Him, it's all yours. You're in God's will. You have an eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. Now, all this is summed up in a 14-CD series. Yes, I said that. 14-CD series that can firmly anchor you in the new covenant. Now, these messages are ideal for personal or group study. They will make the new covenant come alive as never before and will fill you with confidence and assurance that only the new covenant can. It's an in-depth look at Hebrews, and it's our gift back to you as you make your January gift to Basic Gospel. You can click donate at basicgospel.net. When you visit the website, you can request this 14-CD series. It's called It's All Yours, and it is with your gift this month. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net. In Canada, visit basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. We would love for you to partner with us at Basic Gospel. And, you know, as I said earlier, this is a phenomenal thing. I don't think we've done anything quite like this before. 14-CD series, that's pretty impressive to me. I hope it is to our listeners as well.
Well, it's a powerful book. I mean, the book of Hebrews is really the pinnacle of all books in the New Testament. It lifts up Jesus like no other book. It just changes everything. So I believe it's what we need today in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need a fresh understanding of this book of Hebrews, and we really need a fresh application of this book of Hebrews in our day-to-day lives. I tell you, it will change everything. You will start, or as you go through this series, you're going to be brought to a place of rest in Christ, a rest in Christ's finished work. And from that place of rest, you're going to see amazing things happen as the Spirit of God works in and through you. So I think this is just a dynamic book. It's one that needs to be listened to be read over and over and over and over again. And I think it will change a lot of what's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ today.
Yeah. If there's any part of the veil that we were just talking about still left in your life, Hebrews will remove it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, and we had several calls that came in overnight. Let's listen to this first one from Peggy.
Hey, Bob. This is Peggy again. I was talking to my sister yesterday, and we were talking about the Bible and all, and after being saved, when you go to heaven. You know, we've always been taught that you'll be known as you're known here on earth when you go to heaven. Like my son that got murdered and died, will he still be my son in heaven, or will he be like a brother to me? You know, we're trying to figure that out. We're just wondering, any kind of information you can give me that I can help her understand would be helpful. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, that's a great question, and you know, the family is kind of the foundation of society today, and or has been, you know, since the very beginning of history. And we really take a lot of pride in our families, you know, those people that you're connected to by blood, by biology. You're just so proud and thrilled to belong to that group. At least most of us are. But family is kind of a picture of the real family of God that's going to be eternal. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 12. It says, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So what was he saying? That, yes, there's an earthly family, but that's just a picture of the real family of God that is being formed through those who do the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? To simply believe in the Son. So whoever believes in the Son becomes a member of the family of God. We have the opportunity to call God our Father and Jesus Christ our brother, and one another brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's how we're going to be known eternally. That's how we're going to be known in heaven, by our spiritual family connections. So for your son or your daughter, if they're a brother or sister in Christ, if they've come to know Christ, then that's the eternal connection. You're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Y'all were put into the family of God in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. You were born again into the family of God. And so you're going to stand as equals in that family, brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell people when they get married, I want them to first and foremost have a relationship with Christ, each of them individually. So they're going to form a bond of husband and wife, but that's going to be broken by death. The fact that they're brothers and sisters in Christ is going to be an eternal connection. So I say at the wedding, you stand here as brothers and sisters in Christ. And let that be something that molds and shapes how you treat one another as husband and wife. So the real family of God are all of those who have done the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? Simply to believe in the Son. And that's our eternal connection. So we're gonna have a big, huge family. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the church. And we're going to know each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Richard, any thoughts?
Yeah, that doesn't preclude recognizing your own children or recognizing your husband, but that's not the focus anymore. The focus is we are now one in Christ. And so you kind of get the best of all of it because God, right, he created families, he created marriage, but this relationship we're going to get to have with him is just beyond. I mean, it defies imagination. We can't really put words to it, but it's awesome.
Right, and I think we're going to be more happy to call each other brother and sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to take precedence.
Certainly the hierarchy realms is going to be taken all away. It's just Jesus.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
Well, that is good news for Peggy. And Peggy, the really good thing is that you and your son are going to be together.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to go to Jacksonville, North Carolina, but before we do, I want to wish Michelle Lister, who's on our staff, a very happy birthday.
Yes,
today
indeed.
Is her birthday, and if you don't know Michelle, you need to get to know Michelle. She is just a delight. She's got a perpetual smile on her face. She is funny. She's witty. She's just a joy to be around, and we're so grateful that we can be around her almost every single day. So happy birthday, Michelle. Thank you for blessing us with your life and just your gifts and talents and creativity. We're grateful to have you with us.
Indeed. And Michelle, just so you know, we don't want to lose the audience, so we won't have Bob Christopher sing happy birthday for you.
Yes, thank you. Well, we're going to go to Jacksonville, North Carolina, and talk to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got a question. I was wanting to see if you guys had any ideas of some type of materials that I could use in accordance with the Bible to get a better understanding of salvation through grace and not by works. I do read the Bible, and I get into Hebrews and Galatians, and I understand a lot, but there's still some tricky parts there that I'm getting confused on.
Well, Jim, we have some great resources through Basic Gospel, and I'll put you on hold after we finish the conversation and send those resources to you, just our compliments, just our way of saying Happy New Year to you. But we have a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey, and we lay the foundation for reading the Bible through the lens of this new covenant. And then we examine some of the key truths that every Christian needs to know concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that we have in Christ, the eternal rest that we can experience through the shed blood of Christ, the resurrected life of Christ, the difference between law and grace and how it impacts us on a day-to-day basis, and then our faith, hope, and love, what that Christian life really looks like. So that's where we probably would start most believers, is in this New Covenant Journey Bible study guide. Also, my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we put together a study guide to go along with that. So we're going to send you that whole package, the New Covenant Journey, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide that goes with it. Go ahead.
I was just, thank you very much.
Well, you were so welcome.
Yes.
And what we talked about today and yesterday, and I'll add one more point to this. There's three keys that really unlock the Bible for every single person. And those keys are simply this. The Bible is the story of Jesus. So that's key one. We study to get to know Jesus. The second key is the fact that God saves us by grace through faith in Jesus. So we need to read the Bible through the lens of the grace of God, through the lens of this new covenant. And then the third key that unlocks the Bible for every person is recognizing that what the contents of this book can only be revealed to us. We can't ascertain it through intellect, through academic study. We can get the facts and some of those sort of things, but to understand the real meaning, we need revelation. And God has given us His Spirit, and His Spirit is our teacher, and His Spirit will guide us into all truth, and His Spirit will take the things of Jesus and make them known to us. So we read the Bible to get to know Jesus. We read it through the lens of the new covenant, and we read it with an attitude of dependence upon the Spirit of God to teach us the meaning of the Word of God. And when we do, this Bible just comes to life.
Well, that's great. See, I have an issue with, like, when you're reading the New Testament, then you're reading the Old Testament, it's like, to me, it's like I'm getting a difference of character there. Kind of like the stern God versus the loving God.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just confusing.
Yeah, I understand, but when you use these three keys, it will all fall into place for you, and you'll just see God for who He is and how He's revealed Himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I understand that kind of confusion, and I think these things will be a big help to cut through that confusion and just connect you to the simple, pure message of God's love that's revealed to you in Jesus.
Well, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, you are welcome, Jim. Let me put you on hold. We're going to send you, like I said, the New Covenant Journey, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. So you hold on, my friend, and thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. God bless.
Yes, sir.
Jim kind of hit the mother load there.
Yes, yes.
He did. Friends, I want to remind you that we are streaming live video every day, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Central on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel, and we'd like for you to be a part of that. We have a growing number of people that are joining us by the video link, and so we want you to be a part of that, Facebook and YouTube. We had this call that came in overnight as well.
Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, I just wanted to ask this question. Do you know if the household, for example, of the Lord Jesus Christ had a copy of the Old Testament scriptures? Obviously, the copies in those days were all handwritten, and obviously very few and far between. So I'm curious to know if you think it's possible that the household of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary and Joseph and their family, had a copy of the Old Testament scriptures. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, and it really gets down to the nature of the Bible. What was the Bible back then? What did it look like? Could you have it in a bound book on a bookshelf? You know, what was the Bible? What did it look like? And, you know, when you read the Bible, you will see they took out the scrolls. Yeah. Even in Jewish synagogues today, they will take out scrolls and they will open those up and read from various parts of the Old Testament. So, no, not every there would be very few families that would have copies.
In fact,
of
most
the Old
synagogues
Testament.
Didn't have entire copies. They would have an Isaiah scroll or some of the Pentateuch or something like that, but very few copies of the whole thing. Now, there is some thinking that back in Jesus' day there was a rabbinical school somewhere near Nazareth, and that Jesus may have, in fact, attended there. That's speculation, but if they had a whole rabbinical school, they would have had an entire copy of the Jewish scripture.
Yes, yes. So he would have gone to the synagogue in Nazareth. Mm-hmm. They would have pulled out the scrolls, and as a matter of fact, he did that.
Yes.
And they pulled out the scrolls to a place in Isaiah 61, and he said that he was the fulfillment of that, that the Lord had sent him to set the captives free, to mend up the brokenhearted, to bind up the brokenhearted. And he said, today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. Yeah. And it just goes right back to what we said yesterday, what we said in our call with Jim, that the Old Testament is all about Jesus. And if we understand that, then we will really understand the meaning of the Word of God. So those were scrolls. They were meticulously copied by scribes. We see that group of people in the Bible, and these scribes had a very strong protocol in how they copied. Yeah. And so they would maintain the integrity of the scriptures. And they might be commissioned by a synagogue or commissioned by a group to copy down and make scrolls for a particular group, and they would do that. And so, like the those Dead Sea Scrolls that they found, that's exactly what they were, scrolls that had been copied down by scribes and had been hidden in those caves for preservation, for protection. So that's what they would have had back in those days.
Yeah. Well, we are going to wrap it up for today, everybody. I mentioned that we haven't done anything quite like this that we're doing for our donors in January. And as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your gift this month, request your 14 CD series called It's All Yours. It's our gift back to you just for supporting the ministry and this message of God's love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ every day on Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Of course, in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada is a great way to donate. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Now for Bob Richard and all the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.